So I guess I want to address the subject of what comprises a good decision. Just talk a little bit about how to make choices. Dale has talked to us many times about choices and the importance of making good ones. And I really enjoy all his admonition in that area. And choices are important because they always have ramifications. The things you choose will direct your life more than every other factor put together. Some people want to believe that other people and circumstances are what determined their place in life. It was my mom, it was my dad, it was my job, it was my health, it was my church, it was my brother, it was my sister, and they can name something. This is why I am where I am. And I'm not going to say that such things have zero importance, because they do. But I do believe that the choices you made, especially in how you responded to those things, the choices you made had greater impact on your life than all these factors combined. And with choices being that important, any smart person would ask, how do I make a good decision? That's an incredibly important question. And I want to start by just establishing a little bit of what comprises a good decision. So let's pray. Our Father, I just pray you would be with me this morning, help me to preach your word, and more importantly, be with all of us, that we would make the right choices in life. Amen. To be able to make a good decision, you first have to be able to recognize one. You have to be able to know what factors make a good decision before you can make one yourself. So just in very basic, a good decision is based on the principles found in the Bible. It starts with the most obvious, like obedience and faith. And it works its way down to things a little more complex, like, for example, living in accordance with the structure of authority that God has placed in the world, the church, and family, such things. And as I was thinking about it, I think it can truly be summed up by saying, love God with your whole heart and your neighbor as yourself. And now a bad decision is based on anything else. It's based on how I feel, what I want, what I am used to, what my mom did, what makes me happy, or what works. Anything besides the principles of this book is what a bad decision is based on. Now there's some overlap. What you want and how you feel might happen to make a fine choice, and it's really great when it does, but that's only by chance. Sometimes choosing what you want is fine, but it's never to choose what you want as the only factor for life's decisions. It's a wonderful thing when what you want lines up with what's right, but the Christian life becomes hard when those things don't line up. Just to get down to a few specifics, how about friends? You might think it doesn't matter who you choose as your best friend. But let me remind you, Amnon had a best friend. Or, we don't know best, but Amnon had a friend. And your friends need to be chosen with the eyes of faith and not by your own interests alone. Authority. You think it will be of small consequence how you treat the authorities God has placed in your life. But let me remind you again that every choice you make is an expression of either faith or unbelief. I'm not an authoritarian. I'm not saying it's always faith to do exactly what you're told and it's always unbelief to differ from what someone told you. I'm not trying to push any specific idea of authority. All I'm saying is that this is a common area for people to make bad choices. And we need to submit as much as we can, but still obey God rather than man. Media inputs into your life. What you choose to allow and how you choose to use them will have a great impact on your life. You're right that having a Facebook account is not comparable to Daniel's three friends bowing to a golden image. But how you use it might be comparable to Daniel choosing to pray. Time. What you choose to spend your time on is vital. And many times time is intertwined with all the other choices that you make in life. Timothy has been talking to us through Ecclesiastes about work. We've been hearing that God intended for us to work. And sometimes it's easy to choose entertainment rather than work. So this is just my introduction. The Bible lays out principles that will guide us in every area of our life if we will let it. And every good choice is based on faith in God and trust in His Word. And every good choice is also based on love for God and love for all men. To get down to the very bottom of it, it is faith and love that comprises a good decision. But I want to look at some Bible characters and the choices they made just to show a couple of the most important ways that faith and love work their way to the surface and come out in the choices that people make in everyday life. And I want to start with Saul as a bad example, I guess. Early on, Saul made some good choices, and then he made some really bad ones. And the cool thing about this story is that the Bible tells us exactly what went wrong. When Saul was a young man, still working on his dad's farm, he listened to the advice of his servant and inquired of the prophet when he needed answers. You all remember the story? Kish had lost some donkeys and sent Saul and a servant to go look for them. And we read in 1 Samuel 9:5, "And when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, 'Come, and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us.' And he said unto him, 'Behold, now there is a man in this, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure he can show us what way we should go.' Then said Saul to his servant, 'But behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we?' And the servant answered Saul again, said, 'Behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver, and that will I give to the man of God to tell us our way.'" I'm skipping verse 9. "Then said Saul to his servant, 'Well said, come, let us go.' So they went unto the city where the man of God was." Saul listened to a servant because the servant gave good advice. That was a good choice. When they were looking for Saul to anoint him king, he hid himself. Then when Saul was anointed king, he didn't go home and start building himself a castle, but he went back to work on the farm. And Saul stayed as small as he could and didn't forward himself until there was a time. Until there was war in Israel, and then Saul stood up and gathered Israel together to fight. So Saul chose to stay humble. That was a good choice. But then later, Saul offers a sacrifice that only the Levites were to offer. Saul was waiting for Samuel, and Samuel was running late, so Saul just did it himself. Here's an important thing. Impatience will lead us to bad decisions. Because of Saul's impatience, he trespassed the command of God. Because unbelief and impatience go hand in hand, just like faith and patience go hand in hand. And then after this, Saul was commanded to destroy the Amalekites, but he saved the best of the sheep for sacrifice, and he saved the king as a trophy. And when Samuel answers Saul, we find what changed between when Saul was first made king and now. Samuel said in 1 Samuel 15:17, "When thou wast little in thine own sight." And here we have it. Humility is essential to make good choices in life. If Saul had been little in his own eyes, he wouldn't have made the bad choices that he made. And if you are little in your own eyes, you're one step closer to making good choices. Saul lived by his feelings. When he felt small, he was fine. But after being king for a while and he started feeling big, he started acting big. And that was a problem. And how could I talk about choices without at least mentioning Moses? We read in Hebrews 11:24-27, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." There were likely thousands of Hebrews at that time who would have given up everything to get the fame and prestige Moses had. Moses had it. He had it all handed to him on a silver platter, yet he walked away from it. What would you have thought? You chose the people of God over the riches of Egypt. And then you don't get either. You have to run off into the wilderness for 40 years. Was that a bad choice? If you had been there, would you have felt like you had made a bad choice? No. That was a good choice because it was based on the promise of God. For 40 years, Moses' choice looked foolish to everything except the eyes of faith. Elisha. We have in 1 Kings 19:19 that Elijah departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he, that's Elisha, left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Elisha left a successful business to become the servant of a despised prophet. That choice looked stupid until the day when Elisha smote the waters of Jordan with Elijah's mantle and the waters parted and he walked across on dry ground. Until that day of the parting of those waters, that was the first time that Elisha's choice looked smart to anything except the eyes of faith. There are many fathers who would not have forgiven Elisha if he had been their son for burning the yoke of oxen until that day. For Peter to leave his fishing nets and follow Jesus looked stupid until Pentecost. For Lazarus' sister Mary to pour a whole box of ointment on Jesus' feet looked stupid until he rose from the dead. For Gideon to march out against an innumerable multitude with 300 unarmed men looked stupid until the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow. For the young prophet Jeremiah to preach a message as radical as he preached looked stupid except to the eyes of faith until it came true. For David to refrain from killing Saul looked stupid until God took care of Saul. For Daniel to pray in front of his window the same way he always did, even though the command was given for no one to pray to any god for 30 days, looked stupid until the mouths of the lions were stopped. For Daniel's three friends to remain standing when they were told to bow to an idol looked stupid until God protected them from the furnace and smote the men that tried to throw them in. These choices were not good choices because they turned out good and amazing. They were good choices because they were based on obedience. Even if it had not turned out good, it still would have been a good choice. Many prophets were martyrs before they lived long enough to see the prophecies come true, but they still made a good choice. Daniel's three friends understood that it was not the outcome that made the choice good, but simple obedience. And we find that recorded in Daniel 3:14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, and psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." They said, "God is able to save us from this furnace, but even if he doesn't, we still won't worship your image." Now that's the attitude. If we had that attitude, we'd be well on our way to making good decisions. I love the way they say, "We are not careful." It is carefulness to look out for your own interests that causes bad decisions. If Elisha had been careful to look out for his own interest, he would not have left the position of master to make himself a servant. If Peter had thought only about his own interest, he would not have followed Jesus. If Mary had been careful about her own interest, she would have been thinking thoughts more like Judas, who said, "Why was not this ointment sold for money and given to the poor so he could steal a little bit of it for himself?" Or, more likely, she would have been thinking about using the ointment on herself. But she wasn't careful about her own interests. If Daniel had been careful about his own interests, he would have prayed in secret for 30 days. But these three brave men said, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." Asa is another example. I'm going to read a pretty lengthy passage here. Actually, two passages from two different chapters. 2 Chronicles 14:6. "And Asa had an army of men that bear targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bear shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. And there came out against him Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Mereshah. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Mereshah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, 'Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord. Thou art our God, let no man prevail against thee.' So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled." Asa made the right choice, but later in life, rather than leaning on the promises of God, he did a little conniving. He came up with a plan that also worked. But just because it worked did not mean it was right. In the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah. This is 2 Chronicles 16, verse 1. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, There is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they smote Ijon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass when Baasha heard it that he left off building Ramah and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building. And he built there with Geba and Mizpah. And at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa king of Judah and said unto him, Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not all the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. Asa made a choice that worked, but it led him down a path to worse things. I was talking to a man whose dad fought in World War I. When he got back from the war, he was given $12,000. That was a lot of money back in 1920. And one day the neighbor came over drunk and asked for $1,000. He said he was looking for 10 people, each to give him $1,000, and he was going to go out and start a boat motor building company. And each of those 10 people would have 10% of the shares in the company. My friend's dad said, I'm not going to give $1 to a drunk pickle. So, Ole Evan Rude found someone else to give him money and started one of the most successful boat motor companies ever. Now here's the question. Did my friend's dad make a good decision or a bad decision? He made a good decision. It turned out bad. All his children would be millionaires today if he'd given that man $1,000. But he still made the right decision. Because, as he said, giving money to a drunk pickle is not a good idea. He made the right decision, but it didn't come out good. And it's easy to look back on your life and say, if only I had done this, or if only I had done that. But just because you can see that the consequences would have come out good, does not mean it would have been a good choice to make. Don't be hard on yourself about a choice you made in the past, solely on how it would have turned out now. The only time you should be hard on yourself about a choice you made in the past is if you made it in unbelief. That's the only choice you should be hard on yourself about in the past. Jeremiah was dropped into the bottom of a slime pit because he had preached the truth to the king. He could have been down there saying, I made a bad choice. No, he made a good choice. Just because it turned out bad does not mean it was a bad choice. Just because things turned out good for Asa and Baasha left doesn't mean he made a good choice. And this I say to balance both sides. Don't think you're making godly choices just because you haven't had any bad experiences yet. And don't be hard on yourself for the choices you made just because your life is not as blessed as you think it should be. Judge the choices you make and have made solely on the principles of the Bible. If you made choices based on the principles of Scripture, stand on them whatever the consequences are. And if you made choices based on anything other than Scripture, reevaluate it, even if so far there's no consequences. If you look through the Bible, you're going to find that the choices people made is in every chapter on every page. Choices, choices. You see choices and consequences everywhere. And so I've just grabbed a couple that have stood out to me. And I don't know where every person is at and what they might be going through. But the stories and the principles in this book will give you the wisdom you need to make the right choice. And if we start with this book, faith in God, and in the truth of the book He's given us, we make our choices accordingly, we will make good choices. If we don't, we won't. So let me close with prayer. Our Father, I just thank You for each person that's here this morning. And we thank You for Your word that You've given us to guide us. And Lord, making the right choices is sometimes very difficult. Sometimes we don't even know what that is. We can wrestle and struggle with different ideas and not even know. Confusion in our mind, in our heart. And Lord, we pray that You would give that clarity. And Lord, I just pray that each person here would have the faith to believe You and make good choices, that their life would go forward for You, that they would be that vessel fit for the Master's use. Help us, Lord, old or young, to make choices that honor You. Amen.